Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast, the only podcast that is live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via Columbus, Ohio. I'm your host, John Orlando, and I'm the man that is so excited to bring you this episode that words can't describe. The feeling I have inside of me as I'm doing this intro, I gotta be honest with you. About 14, 15 months ago, I contacted my guest and asked him if he would like to come on this very podcast to talk about his project because I connected to that particular project, and I'll explain how in a few moments. But I was so enthralled by it that I had to have this gentleman come on and talk about the project. And it's a first for this podcast. You know I love to tell you about things I like. It's a segment that I end every episode with called Orlando's Fave. And just two episodes ago, episode 102, the Matt Calvert episode, I said that this is one of my faves, and that is the documentary called Traficant, the Congressman of Crime Town. I talked about it, how much I enjoyed it. Well, I have the man behind that great documentary, Mr. Eric Murphy, coming on to talk about that particular project and all of the ins and outs and all of the ups and downs that went along with that project. And it is an amazing conversation. And I hope that you enjoy it. I think you folks that are movie buffs will thoroughly enjoy it. I think you folks that love history and politics, you're going to love it. And heck, you know what? Maybe even if you're a listener that has no idea who I'm talking about, maybe you'll learn something today. So it could be educational for you as well. But you know what? I said that I connected to this project, so allow me to explain that connection. And I'm going to break a little kayfabe, as they say in the wrestling industry, here on this episode. But, and if you don't know what that term means, you have Google right there on your phone or on your computer. Look it up. But, you know, I've talked about this on other podcasts. When I have been a guest on other podcasts, such as the fine folks at Blazing Caribou Studios had me on The Occasional Show about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I talked about the creation of this podcast. And so, really, I'm not breaking any real kayfabe if you've heard that, but maybe you're new to the PVD Cast. Maybe you didn't listen to my other appearances on some other podcasts, so let me just break it down for you. You see, I am not originally from Providence, Rhode Island. As I have explained, my mother has lived in Providence, Rhode Island for the last 20 years. So it is my second home, and what I've chosen to name this podcast after. Also, it's my adopted home for my exploits in professional wrestling. But truth be told, I was born in a very small town, born and raised, I should say, in a very small town in eastern Ohio called Steubenville, Ohio, which sits in Jefferson County. North of Steubenville, about an hour and a half car ride north, is the city of Youngstown, Ohio. So I became very familiar with the crazy antics, the exploits, the adventures, the stories of one Jim Traficant. So that when I heard that this documentary is coming out, I knew that I had to do everything I could to not only just see the film, but to have the man behind it come on the PVD Cast and talk about it. And so, Eric is going to sit down with me. We're going to talk about the film. We're going to talk about lots of things involved in movie making. And I hope you enjoy it. I'm pretty sure you will. So, without any further delay, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of this break, you're going to hear my conversation with the man behind Traficant, the Congressman of Crime Town, Mr. Eric Murphy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting down here with filmmaker Eric Murphy. Eric, how are you this afternoon?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. I've been very excited for this episode. I'm not going to lie. You are the filmmaker behind the documentary Jim Traficant, the Congressman of Crime Town.
Yeah, yeah. Really excited to be releasing the movie and the timing with the election, and especially with it coming through Ohio. So we're hoping a lot of people go out and see it.
Okay. Well, let's talk first of all, because you're in Los Angeles, but you were born and raised in Warren, Ohio, correct?
Yeah. Warren, Ohio, went to Warren JFK, graduated from YSU, Love back home.
So, growing up in Warren, you had a bird's eye view, so to speak, of Jim Trafficant and what he meant to that area and what he did for that area. But I guess my question is, why this subject for your debut film?
He was a folk hero when I was growing up. My grandfather worked 41 years at Republic Steel, retired, the mills closed, lost his pension. So that devastates your family. And that's a story that a lot of people in Youngstown and Warren share. Everyone we knew worked in the mills, and they collapsed basically overnight and, very devastating time. But growing up around my grandmother's dinner table, the topics of conversation were JFK, Jesus Christ, and Jim Trafficking. I mean, he was just one of those things that you always talked about. And then I got a paper route, and every morning I'd bust open the bundle of papers and look above the fold A1 to see what Trafficant was talking about. He led the news every day. And I didn't really know the nuances of politics or any kind of that stuff. It was just the headlines that I knew. And then when I was at Youngstown State, the mob started killing each other. The mafia hired hitmen to kill the newly elected DA in his house on Christmas Eve, the night before Christmas Eve. So everything was collapsing. Everything was in turmoil. And right about the same time, that's when I got bit by the filmmaking bug, I guess, and decided maybe this is my story to tell. And then I made a digital feature coming out of college on a Canon XL1. Jim Fogarty directed it, a guy I went to high school with. And I started volunteering on Tim Ryan, who's now the congressman's state Senate campaign for Trumbull County in Ohio. And he was Trafficant's driver. So he was telling me all of these crazy stories about picking Jim up late at night in unmarked locations and driving through the night of the Pennsylvania Hills and getting to DC in the morning and just how Jim operated and his charisma. And I was driving Tim around and he's downloading all this information to me. So it just was all clicking in. I could go on,
Well, let me ask a question because
but
you said you got bit by the film bug, and that was one of my questions. How did you get interested in film?
I was I thought I was gonna be Larry Bird till I was about 35 or something. That dream died hard. No, I really had a deep interest in sports, playing sports, all that kind of stuff growing up. Typical, Northeast Ohio upbringing, and I watched Shawshank Redemption and Pulp Fiction, and I don't know. It just like the whole world changed. As cliche as that sounds, it was just,
No,
man,
I believe it.
it was like seeing a magic trick.
No, I believe it. The thing that interests me so much about film is I'll just share real quick. I saw Clerks, and I was like, wait, people, just ordinary people can make movies? I
Exactly.
had this idea that you had to be some bigger than life person to make movies, and that I think that's when things kind of that's when I got interested in film. I'm like, wait a minute, okay. So,
That was about the same time too, And I think that's when the independent kind of the kids who grew up in the VHS stores became old enough and started making their own movies with Kevin Smith, as you're talking about, and certainly Tarantino. Shawshank's more of a studio picture, but yeah, I think those kind of auteurs, you would call them, right? Directors of so that really those movies influenced me. A friend I hadn't talked to in a long time was watching Shawshank and wrote me a Facebook message recently and said, do you remember when we watched that on VHS and waited for it to rewind the 5 or 6 minutes so we could watch it again? And it was like that moment, like, oh, let me go try to be a filmmaker. I had no idea how difficult it would be. I'm finding that out.
Okay. Well, you went to YSU, as you mentioned, but you also went to Loyola Marymount out in California.
Yeah. Right?
And
yeah,
film school for Loyola?
Yeah, MFA at Loyola Marymount. Moved out a month before 9/11. Okay. So I went from Warren, Ohio, my mom's basement, to Los Angeles, which was quite a culture shock, let me tell you.
I can only imagine what type of a culture shock that was for you. You know, not just the weather alone, just the whole way people out on the West Coast kind of live their lives.
It was totally, I mean, amazing. You know, okay. Totally amazing. Just, like, definitely culture shock. I was lost for, like, the first 2 years. Didn't know where I was going. You know, pre-maps on your phone, right?
Right,
you have the compass guide.
Yeah.
Trying to get to a grid and ending up all anyway.
Well, just to give a little more background about yourself, too, you've had some writing and producing credits for many different projects for CBS, History Channel, Travel Channel, etc. So all of those particular credits, kind of, did they help you get to this particular point where you could start to make your documentary?
Oh, without question.
Yeah.
Without question. Certainly the fundamentals of filmmaking I learned in film school, and then working on specifically the History Channel stuff, where you're learning how to craft interviews and a narrative from archival footage and sourcing footage and just how to put all that stuff together. Mm-hmm. Certainly.
Well, let's get back talking about the documentary. How did Ed O'Neill get involved in the project?
Yeah, that started at Loyola Marymount. Okay. It was my graduate thesis, and I was writing directing a short film based on my experience volunteering on Tim Ryan's first campaign. And I asked Ed to play a version of Trafficant, like fictional, and he didn't wear the wig and all of that, but, you know, it was inspired by Trafficant. And I didn't know him. I wrote him a cold letter to his manager, and, like, I mailed it on a Monday, and he called me a couple days later. And, like, Eric, this is Ed O'Neill, and I mean, the first contact was a voicemail on an old answering machine, and I was giddy, you know, because he's from Youngstown,
yes.
And I grew up watching him and going, man, that guy's from here, and he's on my television every Sunday night. If he can be successful, maybe I can. Mm-hmm. You know, as simple and as kind of naive as that sounds, but that's really kind of looked up to that, and then wrote him a letter. And he said, how long? Your letter asked for one day. How long's the day going to be? And I said, 14 hours, Mr. O'Neill. And there was a long pause, and I thought for sure he was going to say no. And he said, you know what? Screw it. Let's do 2 days. The work will be better. We'll have more fun. Meet me for lunch tomorrow.
Wow.
And he's just been that kind and generous to me ever since.
Yes. Now, he also is a co-producer, correct? Or an executive producer? I don't recall from the credits.
A producer on the project, and that came about from the Kickstarter.
Yes.
We did two successful Kickstarter campaigns, the first one in 2011, and that really got us going and started helping us find our audience and see what the appetite for Trafficking and kind of... He was still alive, obviously, at that time. Mm-hmm. And then when he passed away, we were about done with the film in 2014, and we ran a second Kickstarter for finishing funds, and we redid the ending of the movie. And Ed agreed to have lunch with certain donor levels and, like, sign memorabilia and that kind of stuff. So that was, you know, the AP picked up the story, and it went national, and we raised a significant amount of money to help us finish the movie, which was really awesome of him to do, you know,
yeah,
to put his name on it like that and take the time to, we had a great dinner with the people that put in a certain amount of money. And it was really cool, really cool. And he's awesome in the movie. You know, he knows all of the, did you see it?
Yes. I watched it about a month ago and
oh, okay.
I got to tell you, the thing that I enjoyed the most about it, and this is a credit to you, you present both the negative maybe, and maybe the positive, and then what I like to say, you present the possible, because there's a part in the film, and I don't want to ruin it for folks that haven't seen it, where
I haven't heard anyone say that. I like that description. I'm going to steal
that's
that
fine
from you.
I mean, you, th- yeah, the thing that touched me was the possibilities that were somewhat wasted by the theatrics and the antics of Mr. Trafficant, of some of the possible good that he could have done. I mean, he did a lot of good, but just think how much more good he could have done if he just played the political game, if he just kind of learned how to to work in D.C.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that he could have been like a cardinal, they call it, I believe, on a committee like Ways and Means, where you're controlling, I think Congressman Ryan says it in the movie, like billions of dollars, you know, where you're on defense appropriations or something like that. And without getting in the weeds too much, you remember Jack Murtha, the congressman from Western Pennsylvania? I mean, he built whole air bases, and I mean, because he just kept rising up the ranks and was very good at playing the game and, you know, brought back a lot, you know. And Jim brought back a lot, no question about it, you know, a lot. But as you're saying, probably could have brought back a lot more. He'd still be in Congress, no question.
Oh, yeah.
And he would be an extremely powerful figure on the national political landscape. You see where he falls in the middle between Trump and Hillary, you know.
Yeah, most definitely. If I may just ask about the Kickstarter campaign.
Yes.
How did you find the process of crowdfunding? Because I know that some creators find it daunting and annoying and like a full-time job almost, and other folks don't mind it. They find it to be very easy. So where do you fall in that spectrum?
With the earlier, I found it to be, first of all, the it's quite a humbling experience to ask people, because the first Kickstarter certainly was a lot of friends and family, you know, so you're asking people that you know, that you work with, to give you money, and money's hard to come by for everybody, so that's always, you know, and it's not a polite thing to do, so that was the first, but I've had to do it, as every filmmaker does, so you kind of have to swallow your pride and do that. The actual mechanics of it, I found to be very daunting, extremely time-consuming. As you said, a full-time job. Coming up with unique rewards, sourcing them if you're getting books from authors and trying to do tie-ins and that kinds of thing. The amount of outreach, both on the phone and I mean, it is a full-time gig. And we did Kickstarter where if you don't reach a threshold, it's all or nothing. You know, so that and our first one was 60 days. It was a full-time job. And the second one was different because, you know, Ed, it got picked up by the AP. So that was like, you're trying to manage that. Now you're trying to help that launch the, or propel the launch of the movie, you know. So what, they're totally different aspect on the second one.
Yeah. And you started, I think I read, you started this project 5 years ago?
We started filming in 2009.
Okay.
I worked with local producer back in Warren, Youngstown, Jeff Alberini. And he was kind of the soldier on the ground going out. And when I wasn't there, getting all of the initial stuff of Jim at his welcome home dinner and early speeches and digging in the archives, it was imperative to have him on the ground back there.
And speaking of the archival footage, I think that I read somewhere where you said you had boxes and boxes and boxes and just like a ton of stuff to go through. So when you researched, did you have a team helping you out? Was it just a one-man show, just yourself? Or how did you handle the research aspect of the information that you had to sort through?
So this really started when I started making the short.
Okay.
So I started just getting into Trafficant then and kind of getting the understanding of just the nutshell of the story. And then I started reading all the transcripts, like every page, you know, and buying them from the government and all the microfilm. And it just became obsessive. And I was the one spearheading that. Albie back home, certainly, he was going and living at the Mahoning Valley Historical Society to digitize some stuff. You know, if there was an old campaign button or something that someone had. They would never give it to us, so we had to like drive out and either film it or scan it, you know, and sometimes he'd be driving 40 miles each way to go scan a button that we just couldn't find anywhere else. Needle in the haystack kind of stuff. But we really wanted to put those kinds of details in the film to make it very like a living document, you know, of the Mahoning Valley at that time and Traficant's presence as this larger than life character, obviously.
So what do you think the legacy is of Jim Traficant? Maybe you can look at that from a Mahoning Valley standpoint or maybe a national standpoint. I think that, you know, that might be different if you're looking at it from those two different perspectives. But what do you think his legacy is?
Well, I think that's in the movie, you know, where it's both. And it's the duality of the guy. And I'm not writing his legacy. I just tried to lay everything out, you know, in an unbiased way and allow the viewer to decide, you know, would I vote for that guy if you weren't from there, you know, or, oh, I can understand how this guy rose to power, but he really had a weakness. He was very funny, very charming. So all of that complexity of the guy is what made it so thrilling for me to kind of keep working on it and keep digging. And, you know, that's just kind of how I look at it.
Well, can I ask, I'm going to put you on the spot, where is there any Traficant story that didn't make it in the film that you could maybe share?
Oh, man.
Was there any that maybe was, you just were like, it doesn't fit in the narrative, or it's too controversial, or it's too off color, or...
Yeah, so many. some that I people actually told me on camera, and you're like, did he really do that? And then someone else would tell you the exact same story, and you're like, damn, he must have done that. And then some funny stuff.
Can you think of an example of one?
Yeah, you know, there was the film opens in Pittsburgh today, Friday the 21st. I don't know if this is live,
yeah,
but
hey, it, you know,
and he was a star quarterback at Pitt, mm-hmm. and they had a big game. I believe it was Notre Dame was in town, and he went out. He broke curfew. He got in late. He missed the bus over to the stadium in the morning, and he gets benched. And the coach said, "I benched Traficant because he was out judging a wet T-shirt contest with Bobby Lane last night." And Bobby Lane was the legendary quarterback who finished his career at the Steelers. So just things like that. I mean, there are certainly more off-color ones that I just can't. They're so ridiculous. But that one always amused me, you know. And it was telling. It was telling of his character. And I think the best stories in the movie are the ones that reveal his character. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the I love the absurdity in the film, you know, where the mafia is recording the sheriff because they can't trust him to keep his end of a bribery deal.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just like you can't make it up.
Right, right. And living on a houseboat because of a tax lien. Like, that's just the most bizarre thing that you could think of. Like, why wouldn't you just have a hotel or an apartment? Why do you have to go and live on a houseboat? That doesn't...
Right. And you're allowed to raise money and pay for your housing as a congressman. You know? Like, you're on the job down there.
Yeah.
But he lived on a boat that apparently you couldn't stand up in, and it leaked, and it wasn't seaworthy. You know, it kind of represented him, you know, in a way.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, the documentary has been an official selection for various different film festivals. The Cleveland International Film Festival, Beverly Hills Film Fest, Sarasota Film Fest, Austin Film Fest, Docuta of 2016. How has been the reception at different film festivals?
The ones I was able to attend, it was really great. First, you know, coming back to Cleveland was just the best. That was our premiere. We had been working on it so long. Friends and family got to come in, and like the other producers that live locally. So that was incredible. And The critical response was really great. We sold out a bunch of screenings. You know, I've been also been at screenings where there's 20 people there and they haven't heard of Trafficant, you know, and they're laughing and get it. And they're like, oh, this is, I'm glad I came in. We played in Austin. We were nominated, for a PBS award down there. And, we have really large crowds and they have like a sophisticated film audience in Austin and they really liked it. It was nice to see it play down there. It's hard to find an audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like a politician, like on a write-in ballot.
Yeah.
You know, it's retail politicking. You're out shaking hands and talking to as many people as you can and really believe in and love the film that we made and think people will enjoy it. You know, we recently, it's on video on demand on iTunes and Amazon and Vimeo to rent or buy. And, you know, so we're starting to get the word out that way. And I think it's definitely going to be a word-of-mouth film where we don't have a lot of marketing money or anything like that.
Well, that's all right. Sometimes word-of-mouth is good enough. And, you know, from a guy that has a podcast that has literally no budget, I rely on word-of-mouth a lot. So
yeah, exactly. And that's kind of, you talk to your friends and people are always like, hey, check this new thing out. I mean, that's how I hear about stuff all the time.
So,
and seems to be some buzz about the movie that way.
Yeah, and I think it's timely too, as you mentioned. It's a presidential election year, and clearly, I guess I tried to explain to some coworkers who Jim Trafficant was, and I'm like, I don't know how to do it. He's kind of Trumpish, but not. Like, you know what I mean? But yet I said it was very hard to kind of describe who he was to folks that don't know. So what might be the best description?
You got to show him the trailer.
Well,
that's the best way to show him. It's 2 minutes. That's the best way.
Note to self. Thank you, Eric. I will just do that next time.
You should have it preloaded on your phone. I mean, come on. This is a full-time job out here. Never miss an opportunity. I mean, I think that, you know, there's certainly the obvious Trump stuff with the bombast and the populism and the terrible hair. But Jim Trafficant was literally the son of a truck driver. Mm-hmm. He was as blue-collar, no-collar as you could possibly get. He went to the mat for his working-class people. He was a man of the people, certainly. You can call him corrupt and what a buffoon or whatever. He was a man of the people. And obviously, Donald Trump is masquerading as that. I think Trafficant would be calling BS quicker on that than anyone and probably filing like a copyright infringement against him and saying, you stole my act. Like, what the hell are you doing? I'm the populist. You crap on a gilded throne.
Yeah.
Literally. I don't think he'd be putting up signs for Hillary either, though. You know, he would be going his own way and kicking crap at everyone he wanted to.
Well, that is the Jim Trafficant way. A couple of last quick questions for you, Eric. What's your next project? Do you have that lined up, or do you feel like you still need to continue to cultivate your film right now and you haven't thought about a next project?
The next project, which will be happening today, is Irish whiskey at the Elks Lodge at about 5 o'clock, followed by another one. I have a ton of other ideas that I would hope that this film could lead to, you know, that could help build budgets and exposure and distribution, and, you know, because it's doing all of it yourself is not a sustainable kind of, you know, this was a one-off, I guess you could say.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
I hope that it gives me some extra credibility or something.
Gotcha.
And the marketing and distribution continues. You know, we're in Pittsburgh for a week and I'm Skyping in for a Q&A there tomorrow. They brought in some Great Lakes beer. We're going to be doing a beer tasting.
Nice.
So that's going to be fun. Love their beer. Unless a competitor is one of your sponsors, and then I like your sponsor's beer. you know, and then more screenings, more we're screening at universities and pushing the video on demand.
Okay.
iTunes, Amazon, Vimeo. Come to our Facebook page, Twitter.
All right.
Apparently, you got to have Snapchat. I don't even know what that is. Or DeGram, Instagram.
Let me just tell you, I have an Instagram and I hate it. But that's just me. I'm not to take a picture and then try to it just seems like too much work. I don't like it, but I digress.
I find Twitter to be that way. It's like a huge time sink.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Well, do you have any advice for any aspiring filmmakers?
As trite as it sounds, is like, do it. Mm-hmm. You know, get a camera, write a script, or find something that you want to document or craft a story, and start doing it. And understanding, as I'm continuing to learn, you know, that it's a total process, and your first stuff, you got to try your best, and then you're going to get a little better and a little better and a little better and a little better. And to be persistent at it. And I think passion carries the day. You know, I wouldn't have finished this film if I wasn't so passionate, like obsessively passionate about it, you know, and just those days that you don't want to do it, and fitting it in around freelance, you know, managing your time and certainly finances.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, though, if I may, just real quickly, with technology today versus 20 years ago, easier to be a filmmaker?
I can say 15 years ago, that's when I went to film school. We presented the film at my alma mater, Loyola, on Monday. Mm-hmm. And there were some students there, and I said that to them. I shot on Super 16. We had to shoot on film. YouTube was invented after I graduated, or as I was getting out. So now it's like you could shoot on a DSLR. Mm-hmm. And make it look good, and, you know, learn how to source music and build your graphics, or find someone who wants to work in graphics, and, you know, get your little team together. And then finding the audience, I think, is much easier today. Now, there's more content, but the barrier of entry is pretty low. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that allows, like, if there's talent and you can keep plugging away at it, you're doing the exact same thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
How many guys have a podcast?
There's thousands.
It's about cultivating your audience. I think we're doing the same thing,
yeah.
You know. And it's just like a daily grind. You got to get up and create content and stay on top of it and all of that. But I think filmmaking, the distribution side with digital, is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know. And I was the VHS guy. You know, that's the era we grew up in, or I grew up in. And now, can you imagine coming into film school at 20 and you've had a camera in your hand your whole life? And where you can edit on a phone and iPads, and everything is so visual. Mm. And there's storytelling everywhere. You know, this next group of kids are just going to blow everything away. It's just beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that I agree with you 100%. I think that the level of entry is easier. And I think that we're on the cusp of a revolutionary way of making film. So, where's some of the social media outlets where people can follow you? We talked about them real quickly there a few moments ago.
What are they? Facebook is Trafficant Documentary.
Okay.
And Twitter is at Trafficant _movie.
Okay. All right. And the movie, again, available. I watched it on Vimeo, video on demand, I'll just say real quick. So, that's the outlet I chose to.
Did it stream good? Did you like how it looked on Vimeo?
It did. You know, I had to, unfortunately, watch it on my laptop, because I will explain, Eric, and this is nothing against you, but the Vimeo app on a Roku is very awkward to use, and
yeah,
I had a lot of problems trying to find the film on it. That was awkward. Using my laptop, it was a breeze. It was a piece of cake. So I just sat back here and watched it. So that was my only gripe.
I think it's set up for the laptop, I'm finding out.
Really?
I've heard that from some other folks about the TV, and my Vimeo app doesn't even work on my Vizio.
Yeah. So
they're probably going to get mad at us.
Probably.
Why aren't you promoting the movie more, Vimeo? Calling you out.
But no, I found it very smooth. It looked great on my laptop. So you could check it out there. But do you now have it on iTunes?
iTunes and Amazon, and that seems to be finding a larger audience more rapidly. And I think there's like a little mini buzz, not even a buzz, just a little like rubbing your two fingers together sound starting on the internet.
All right. Well, Eric, thank you for stopping by here. I appreciate it. And by the way, if you're listening, you need to go watch the film. Bottom line, that's the whole process.
Thank you.
Don't let it be just because it's a documentary. Don't let it be an excuse. Just because it's about politics, don't let it be an excuse. It's a great film. It's a great documentary. You got to go see it. So, Eric, anything else you want to say real quick?
No, I appreciate the time. It was fun chatting with you.
Thank you as well. Okay, folks, as you know, I'm going to throw it to a real quick break. On the other side of this break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode. So if you will, please stick around. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Mr. Eric Murphy. Eric's a nice guy, he's a heck of a guy, and I'm very happy that we finally got the opportunity to sit down and talk about his documentary. And as you may have heard, we mentioned that it was October 21st is actually when this was recorded, and it was mentioned that the movie was opening in Pittsburgh. But you know what, if you want to know where it's opening, if it's going to be in a theater near you, all you got to do is you got to just jump on over on Facebook to @TrafficIt Documentary. And there you can get all the information as to where it might be, show times, all that stuff. Or if you're more geared towards Twitter, TrafficIt_movie is where all the information is for Eric and the documentary. And you know what? Let's be honest. Maybe you don't even want to leave the house. Maybe you just want to watch it right in the comfort of your own living room. You can do that too. Vimeo, Video On Demand, Amazon, iTunes, those are the three outlets where you can get your hands on this awesome documentary. And again, I really enjoyed it. I think you will too. So definitely check it out if you get the chance. See Trafficant, the congressman from Crime Town. All right, with that being said, let me just talk real quickly about one other quick thing before we wrap up this episode. And that quick thing is Staunch Ambition. And the reason why I'm mentioning this, because I was just talking to Brian Lau, that's right, the creator of this awesome science fiction fantasy graphic novel. I was talking to him the other day, and he told me that issue 2 is going to be coming out here pretty darn soon. So if you haven't gotten your hands on issue 1, well, shame on you. Fix it, man. Fix it. Just go over to staunchambition.com. There you can order the preview issue. You can get issue number 1, which is a great read, I promise you. You can also pick up some other Staunch Ambition merchandise if you want. That's staunchambition.com. If you're not sure how to spell it, just simply go over to my website, pvdcast.com. There's the links tab. Click on that. Right there will be a link to staunchambition.com so you can stop stalling, get your hands on episode 1 or the preview issue, read up, and be ready for when issue 2 drops here real soon. So once again, check out staunchambition.com. All right, it's about that time in the podcast now where I tell you about something that I think is cool, something that I think is awesome, something I think you should check out, also known as, of course, Orlando's Faves. That's right, it's plural this time, Orlando's Faves. I got two things to drop on you that I think you should check out, and it's funny, we've been talking a lot about movies on this episode, and these two faves of mine are movie previews that just recently have come out. And, you know, one of them I think everybody's been talking about because it got such a buzz, but I'm going to jump on that bandwagon. I really enjoyed the trailer for Logan. Now, I will go out on a limb and say that I think that the X-Men movies have been okay. In fact, I've loved Hugh Jackman's performance of Wolverine in every single one of them. I don't know if the Wolverine movies themselves were very good, especially the first one, X-Men Origins Wolverine, was not very good. The second one I liked, The Wolverine, although I never did see the director's cut. I'm told that it's a much better movie with that extra 20 or 30 minutes put in, but nonetheless, I really enjoyed the trailer for Logan. I think it's got an interesting premise. That's based off of the Mark Millar storyline of Old Man Logan. And I don't know, for once I thought that the visuals and the audio, the fact that they used the old Johnny Cash song Hurt, the cover of the Nine Inch Nails song, to me it just meshed so well. It gave me such a great feeling about what I might see in this film. So I hope that the movie holds up to the trailer. And I think the movie comes out next February or March, I'm not sure. But I really dug that trailer. So that's my first fave. Now, if we're talking about a second fave, it's the trailer for the new Tom Ford movie, Nocturnal Animals, starring Amy Adams, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Michael Shannon. First of all, big fan of Michael Shannon's work. But this trailer is a very interesting trailer. It's obviously a little bit hard to describe. Just said it's obviously. Well, and it will be obvious when you check out the trailer. Let's go that way. Anyways, it's about a divorced couple and maybe the husband's revenge plot on his ex-wife. It looks very interesting, and I'm curious to see it comes out, I believe, November 11th. So I will be eagerly anticipating going to the theater to see Nocturnal Animals. So there you go. Those are my two faves for this edition of the PVD cast. So, hey, let me tell you where you get in touch with me. You can get in touch with me via email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com, if you would like. You can follow me at Twitter, at PVDMVP. You can find me on Facebook, too. Just go to at PVDcast through Facebook, because the Facebook page is right there, and I'm getting a lot of people checking that out, so I appreciate it. And I'm still on Instagram, at PVDMVP as well. And in fact, I think I'm going to probably reopen that up and just leave it wide open. I know it's been locked down a little bit after several weeks of having some problems with the security of my Instagram account. But nonetheless, I think I'm going to open it back up here. So, but hey, if you're listening to it and it's still locked, just send me a request and I'll add you. There you go. Enough said. Hey, there are five different ways you could check out this podcast. So you can get them from PVDcast.com, which is the online home of yours truly, or you can check them out on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, but whatever you do, rate, review, and let people know how much you appreciate the PVDcast, because those statistics help me out tremendously, and hey, without you folks listening, there's no point in doing this podcast, so I appreciate every single listener I get, and tell a friend, tell two friends, tell three friends. You can send them an email, you can tell them on the phone, you can text them, you can do whatever you need to do. Just let them know that they need to check out the PVDcast. So, now that I've taken care of all those things, let me go ahead and wrap up this episode. So, thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later!